We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Punts and defends, snaps it outside to Wiggins. Goes by Bull. Oh! Drops the sledgehammer!
Oh, they're going to bump it away. They called an offensive foul.
I'm sorry, I don't know what just happened. A very unusual series of moves just made the ball go in.
Damn!
Foul! No, two fouls.
Foul? I didn't touch anybody!
Look, Jackie, people can't just go flying in the air like that.
No foul. That's no foul. That's just a great dunk is all that was. Thank you for being a part of this busy, eventful show today. Ian Happ was a part of it. Shakia Taylor was as well. We thank Evan Thomas and Connor O'Donnell for directing the Twitch feed and moderating the chat. Rick Camp, our executive producer, and sitting in for Mike Rankin, the trash panda himself, Adam Studzinski. It was fun stuff.
Rally starter, Adam Studzinski.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Spark plug, you with, go, we go.
With pure speed, he sparked a huge inning for us last week.
Against?
See, yeah, and I don't think I got any credit from that from Shane last week.
I literally just gave you credit for it.
Thank you, because no one had from until Shane's. Just now. There was a lot of credit for his grand slam, but no one talked about who started the rally.
Yep, it was Studs. Studs beats out an infield single because it's pure speed.
The voice of Lawrence Holmes, who is here on this Monday, getting ready for his... I'm very curious how you took everything in this weekend with all that was going on and a lot of people. I mentioned earlier, a lot of people showing their ass on this. And a lot of people pretending to not understand things, and that gets really tiresome.
Yes,
I'm still asking Yankee fans, what are you booing?
That's the most annoying part of it. Is that, you know, like the sea lion stuff that's going on with people acting ignorant to why this is not right, people trying to weaponize Jackie Robinson, which is the sports equivalent of the same type of people trying to weaponize Martin Luther King, and to, you know, to point it at black people and say, well, how dare he? Like you are some sort of protector of the legacy of Robinson. And also people that don't understand that these types of things can morph and change. That racism isn't as simple as there's a burning cross on your lawn. Sometimes it's stuff like this. And to me, it's really simple. And I'm glad that Liam Hendricks brought voice to it. To me, it's as simple as, you don't know me like that.
I use that exact phrase.
You don't know me like that. We're not cool like that. That you think that you can call me outside of my name. Especially when we're in the middle of a beef. That's not really the time where you and I should be having inside jokes. Especially inside jokes like that. That's all it is to me. Everyone knows that Josh Donaldson is a bad guy. A bad guy on multiple levels. And all you have to do, if you just look at what his former teammates have said about him. Everywhere that he's gone, it doesn't matter. No one likes him. And some of the reasons in talking to some people around baseball this past weekend is what you saw. And notice that there hasn't been a huge defense from inside of the Yankees clubhouse for Josh Donaldson. Because they know he's a bag. And so to see the people that have gathered up their capes and have decided that they're going to run to the rescue on this, for a guy who's played 36 games for the Yankees, to me, it shows a lot. Seeing the way that our compatriots on WFAN acted this morning and acted last night.
Do tell.
Boomer, you know what Boomer's about. It's his flag, remember? And that's what they're doing. They're bringing the cloak of it. What bothers me on a macro level whenever we start talking about race is there always seems to be a rush of, well, that guy's not a racist. Let me give you all of the reasons why he might not be a racist. And I'm sure it lives in a space where people are afraid that they will be called racist. I get that. I get the trepidation of not wanting to be called a racist if you get something wrong. There's a difference, though, and that's where the nuance in this conversation has to be. There's a difference between someone maybe being culturally insensitive and not knowing, literally being ignorant of something, then being adjusted or corrected and being like, I didn't know that. I won't do that again. The difference is with Josh Donaldson, he's weaponizing it. This is the same as if we took two white guys, okay, and they have an issue, and the white guy who's Tim Anderson in this scenario is like, don't call me friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other Josh Donaldson is like, hey, what's up, friend?
It's a taunt.
It's a taunt. And the taunt is mixed in with bigotry and racism. I don't want people to... I wish that people would not reflexively just defend him. Oh, well, he's probably a good guy. No, there's enough evidence to say that Josh Donaldson is a bad guy. And this would just be giving voice to some of the things that people around baseball have said quietly. And here's what you need to really think about. If you're trying to protect Josh Donaldson on the issue of well, he can't be a racist, think about what sport we're talking about. Think about the legacy of this sport and kind of even where this sport is now. For other white people in baseball to look at a white dude and be like, you know what? That dude's racist.
When Tony La Russa thinks you're a racist, it's probably time to reassess where the continuum is.
Yep.
That's Tony La Russa. And I sat here and said, good job, Tony La Russa.
You never thought you'd say that.
I didn't.
Especially on an issue of race.
And, you know, I have to, what is, when you start hearing, and Doug Glanville talked about it, how like people would call him Eddie Murphy, like whoever the celebrity was at the time, just how,
yes,
how insulting and reductive it is to refer to somebody like that. I immediately thought of, okay, Reggie.
Yes.
All right, Cool Breeze.
Yes, Jerome.
Okay, Jerome.
Yeah.
Like that, that was my, I mean, I saw that with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears.
Yes.
And that's real. It's the same thing.
Dan, I'll make it even easier for you. There's a litany of nicknames that I have. If you don't want to call me Lawrence, there's a bunch of them that you can use. You could go Holmes, Holmesy, Loho, whatever. I've asked people to not call me Larry. And what do people do immediately when they disagree with my point? Or for you, when you get the anti-Semites, what do they immediately do? They don't refer to you as Dan, do they?
No, they'll mispronounce my last name on purpose.
Exactly.
With certain things emphasized.
Exactly. And yeah, that's what this is. That's who this guy is. And if your goal is to try and better race relations, I'm with you on that. But sometimes my white brothers and sisters need to fall back on some issues and say, you know what? Let the black folks have this one. We'll follow their lead on it. If Tim says that, and Tim didn't even use the term racist, like, but if the people around him are like, yo, man, that was some, and he feels like he was being disrespected, the default setting should be, okay, why does Tim feel disrespected? I want to hear what he has to say. Ozzy, I was doing pre and post with Ozzy this weekend over at NBC Sports Chicago. And Ozzy and Josh Donaldson have no love lost. Like, they've got beef because of what Josh Donaldson had done with Lucas Giolito the year before and the stuff that he had done with Darryl Boston and him wiping dirt on home plate as he comes by after a home run over at 35th and Shields. And Ozzy's called him out because he thinks that he's a fake tough guy that doesn't really want smoke, but he tries to act like he wants smoke. And talking with him about it, saying, look, man, it's really simple. That guy was trying, like, if you want to give him, like, the AJ defense, he was trying to get under Tim's skin.
Oh, the gamesmanship defense?
Yeah.
This is just how the game is played.
That's cool, but you can do all of those things without being a bigot. And what he decided was, the best way for me to get under Tim's skin is to be a bigot.
And that's why Anderson's reaction is even better. Because he didn't react that way. His teammates did. And if you play back what Tim said, and he essentially said that it made him uncomfortable and that it's not okay, but it didn't really get under his skin. And he beat your ass.
That was the best part. The best part is that he gets to have the revenge on the field. And he gets to quiet the Yankee crowd. It's just, all of it is disappointing. But there is stuff that I thought was great. Yasmani Grandal, and I talked about it on Twitter. I don't know if Yaz is part of the black diaspora. Like, it's possible as a Cuban.
As a Cuban, sure.
That he somewhere. Might be, and that maybe he felt that, even if he isn't, and he didn't. The way that he stood up for Tim, I thought, was key. If he's not part of the black diaspora, to me, that's something that my white brothers and sisters should look at and be like, that's how you be an ally.
That's being a good ally. Yep.
That's how you, hey, we're not going to take any of this, and you're right in his face. Same thing with Liam Hendricks afterwards. Liam told you, he told you chapter and verse how this was going to go down, who this guy is, and what's BS about all of this. Even Tony La Russa in the moment was a great ally to Tim Anderson. And I've heard some people describe, I think David was saying this morning that he feels like whenever he hears Tony talk about Tim, it does kind of sound paternal, like maybe more paternal than some of the other players. And Tim has been on the record saying that he's enjoyed his time with Tony La Russa, which is quite frankly shocking. But if it works for them, it works for me. I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum. But having people that will stand by you in those moments and stand up for you is key. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. What I want is my friends that have some privilege, that have voices, to then stand up for me when the odds look overwhelming, when I can stand up for myself, but maybe it's not going to be heard or it's going to be accepted as readily. If these people are out here telling you, and there's been no defense from the folks inside the Yankees dugout or clubhouse, if the folks on the White Sox are telling you this is a bad dude, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. And that's where it's at. I understand that people think that the worst thing that people can be called is a racist. But you should only give the benefit of the doubt to people who deserve it. And Josh Donaldson does not deserve it. He doesn't deserve you putting on the cape and trying to rescue him. He's a bad guy and should be treated as such.
I'm waiting to see how the commissioner's office takes this in and how they are assessing it and to what extent they are talking to Tim Anderson about it, because that's the guy from whom they should be hearing, not outside consultants or everybody trying to both sides this in some way. They should be talking to him.
Look, I believe that there should be due process if there's going to be punishment. They should talk to Josh Donaldson and they should find out, what did you say?
Sure.
What did you mean by that? Like, they should ask him all the pointed questions. They should make him as uncomfortable as he tried to make Tim in trying to figure all this stuff out. They should get what Tim thinks about all of this. And this is a league that's been trying desperately over the last 5 years for sure to change the way that it appears to the public. They want baseball to be a game that celebrates some of the great stuff that is about it. And I get really mad when people didn't read the SI piece and don't understand or are feigning ignorance when it comes to what Tim said about Jackie Robinson and us having the conversation. Like, for example, if we're sitting around talking about baseball and we're talking about the way that Tim plays the game or the way that Eloy plays the game, quite frankly, the way Bryce Harper plays the game, and we go, you know what that's reminiscent of? That's reminiscent of Negro League players and the way that they approach the game, or that's reminiscent of winter ball in the Caribbean.
I was just going to say, the Venezuelan, their leagues, the Dominican leagues, and just how it's okay to enjoy all of this stuff without it being presumed that your lack of stoicism is somehow self-serving or unprofessional.
Yeah. It's okay to then link yourself to it. I have a big issue with this when it comes to history, and people who listen to the show heard me talking about this on Jackie Robinson Day, Dan. As we get farther and farther away from the people who made history, there's a desire to make them cuddly mascots.
Water them down. That's what Shaquia Taylor and I talked about. Now, Jackie Robinson was not cuddly.
No, he wasn't. And
read the columns he wrote for the Chicago Defender.
Read the stuff that he did for the Defender. All you got to do, he gave a great speech in Florida during the middle. Like if I didn't tell you that it was Jackie Robinson, you would think it was Colin Kaepernick. He's talking about police brutality. He's talking about redlining. Like, Jackie was out here. But what we do with history is we hold Jackie Robinson up as kind of like a mascot for racism is over. We hold Martin Luther King up as a mascot for racism being over. And we are very selective in what we choose to talk about. We'll take the I Have a Dream speech, but we won't talk about the Mountaintop speech. And we won't talk about his letter from the Birmingham jail.
Yep.
And we won't talk about all the things that led to him becoming such a popular figure in Black and American history. We want to distill it down to make it easy, where there's just this kumbaya moment, and then you get to absolve yourself of whatever harsh feelings that you have to deal with when it comes to race relations in this country, because you agree with the concept of we should all be free to be who we are, and wouldn't it be nice if all of us could get along?
It reminds me of what we always decry when the NFL has a pet cause or something where it says it's on the right side of it, and all they do is look for a ribbon with a certain color, and then they cut sponsorship deals to say you wear these cleats and you wear these cleats, and no one actually remembers what it is that is causing them to stand or to kneel or to protest or to want to be heard. It just becomes another branding opportunity.
Yes. And with all of that noise that happens for my cleats, my cause in the NFL, it makes it hard to sift through what should we be paying attention to. What the NFL did.
That's on purpose.
I know.
They want it to be difficult to sift through.
And in October, before they really got blown up by people doing research on it, the Crucial Catch stuff that they were doing with breast cancer awareness and the amount of money that they weren't giving to places that were doing testing, like the amount of money that the NFL was pocketing, the way that they worked with the armed forces of the United States.
Oh, don't even. That's more odious than anything else. I mean, just the under-the-table payments for your flyovers and your free advertisements for the military and all that. Not so free advertisements, and they weren't disclosing it. Yeah. Ugh.
It's all of that stuff. So on today's show, I'm going to talk about it. The show is probably going to take on a fairly serious tone today. Your thoughts on Doctor Strange?
I enjoyed it. I don't get it. It's. I've even read about it. Even after the fact, I've read about what everything was, and I did try to educate myself a little bit ahead of time. It's fun, and
it's very Raimi.
That's all I needed.
It's the Raimiest Raimi Raimi.
And some of the camera shots are identical to Army of Darkness.
Yes.
When they're defending the fortress and they're on the battlements and they're up on the parapets and the guys, they're drawing their, and it's like almost the same shots storyboarded.
I mean, even getting the Bruce Campbell, you know, cameo in there.
And at the end, the zombie face crumbling at the end and all that stuff. It's so Raimi.
I thought it was great that Marvel now has a horror movie, because that's what that was.
Yeah.
Like, that was a horror movie. But there was a lot of stuff that was just kind of like, where is everyone going with this? Like, Phase 4, I think, is trending towards being a failure in Marvel. because I don't think that he should be the center of the MCU. That's the problem.
Fair enough. I didn't have a lot of fan investment. I just wanted 2 hours of Raimi popcorn.
You got that.
We got that. We definitely got that. But the multiverses are just hard to deal with.
Yes.
There's just too much.
I enjoyed, and I was telling you about the Illuminati, and it's in the commercial, so I'm not spoiler alerting that they're in it. But seeing that was cool. And getting that service was fan service was cool.
Do you consider Wanda a villain?
It's a great question. You need to watch WandaVision.
Because I know that was, she created that reality because to have the kids and to the question, we don't know how real that, and that's sort of the theme of this movie was, is that real or what is real in that regard?
Well, that's why
her identity as a mother, and
you need to watch WandaVision because all of that is explained. I'm sure that people that outside of yourself, because you were warned, people that jumped into that without watching WandaVision were like, wait, what? Hold on. I'm completely lost. It's a very important piece of TV to kind of jumpstart you. But if you look in the history of the comics, I think that there is a great argument for Wanda is a villain.
Okay. No, that's what I mean. Like, I'm sure there is. The one thing that really bothered Jason when we were talking about it, we were sitting eating afterward, and he said, there's a little bit of the James Bond fallacy of the talking killer going on. He said where multiple times she's got America there under her power and she's doing like the Emperor Lightning Fingers thing. And it's like, how long does it take? That's what he said. He goes, she's the Scarlet Witch. Snap your fingers, suck out all the power that you need and be done with it.
Snapping the fingers of the other guys.
But just whatever you got to do, that it shouldn't take three different times. Like, oh, now I've almost got all the power. Like that got a little much. It's one to go back to that. Well, it's like, oh, we stopped her just before she took all of her power.
Look, and I know that we are sitting here having a discussion about racism and bigotry and stuff, but let me just tell you that even I was sitting there watching Doctor Strange going, it's a little heavy-handed. We have to save America.
Oh, wow. that was ridiculous.
We can't let America down. Like I'm just like, all right.
There were audible groans. There were only about 8 people in the theater I was, but there was more than one person like, oh, okay.
It's a little heavy-handed on their part. But I think that I enjoyed it. I want to go see it again. I did love all the Raimi stuff. I thought that was fun. I thought it worked better. I wish Marvel would have promoted it as a horror movie. Because really, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like it's, and I'm trying to figure out where they can go. I don't know how you feel about this. I thought that... God, why am I blanking on her name? I thought they didn't do a great job of filming Strange's girlfriend. What's her real name?
She's the Canadian actress who was in Spotlight, and her name is Rachel
McAdams.
Yes.
I don't think that they did a great job filming her. Like, she's a tremendously beautiful woman, and I felt like some of the shots that they had of her were like, what? Like, why would you choose this angle for her? Like, it was very, very strange. I thought, no pun intended, I thought she was pretty great in the movie. I enjoyed those scenes with the two of them. I thought those were good. Just kind of like, But guess who's coming?
Who?
Namor is coming.
Who's playing Namor?
Well, they're changing the character a little bit. They're going to take Atlantis and make Atlantis like from the Caribbean.
Oh.
So he's going to be a brown man.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's going to be like a Central American like vibe to Namor.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to see what they do.
That's cool.
Now they just got to get my guy Victor Von Doom in there. And I felt like they had opened the door, and then they kind of shut it, and then they opened the door again, and then, but we'll see. We'll see. Dan, I'm glad that you enjoyed all the Raimi-est Raimis that ever Raimied, in that movie because that's exactly what it was. That's Dan Bernstein. You can check him out Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until noon. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. This hour is being brought to you by CarX Hire and Auto, online at CarX.com. Ray, let's go.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.